when we have science.
Yeah, why men? Why men?
Hello. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to a special mini-sode or extended Rachel Science Corner. I haven't decided what this is technically called. supplemental to our last episode, which I believe was episode 137, now with 100% more lizards.
Why do we have lizards?
There was lizard people.
Okay, this is something I haven't listened to yet. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah. Well, so the planet that they went to was basically Space Wakanda, but with lizard people. So it was now with 100% more lizards.
Chill.
Yeah, it was fine. It was cool. Hello, everyone. I am your co-host, Rachel.
I am your guest, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was going to say, you may recognize my sonorous voice from such hits as episode 137, now with 100% more lizards. And you may recognize Rebecca's voice from any of our Twilight episodes.
Yeah.
So I asked Rebecca to come and hang out with me today because I have some science to talk about. And Rebecca is a science human.
I am.
We going to talk about some science. So usually, I guess, if you are new to the podcast and just jumping into this bonus episode, during the books that have particularly interesting scientific sections, we do a Rachel Science Corner is what we call it. It's basically where I go in and talk about why the science in the book is usually wrong. See the submarine book. So usually that's what we do. This book has some science that in theory is wrong, but in order to get to that point, we have to talk about a lot of other science.
Oh,
so it's
going
to take some time. So we did not have time to do this during the episode, but the folks on our Discord still wanted to hear it. So that's why we're here. So I guess, again, for folks that don't know, perhaps we should go over our credentials as science humans.
Probably.
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Yeah. So I'm a mechanical engineer in training. By in training, I mean, like, I have a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, and I've been working in a science-related field for the past 10 years, both, mm-hmm. like, from manufacturing to development to testing, like, I've done a fair bit of science related stuff.
Yep, absolutely. Rebecca and I talk science all the time.
Oh yeah. Tiffany and Margie love it.
Oh yeah, they absolutely adore it. This is definitely yeah. Look, this is gonna be like an hour of just nerding out about math and shit. So
yeah, consider that your trigger warning. If math is a trigger, you should probably leave now.
Yeah. And you have beer. We're not going to like run numbers. I tried to make this as accessible as possible. So no science background required for this particular chat. But I am a computer engineer. I have a bachelor's in computer engineering with a minor in computer science. And then I have a master's degree in electrical engineering with a specialization in digital signal processing, which is very exciting. Yeah. But I work with satellites. So I started out on GPS satellites. I started out working specifically with GPS systems, transmitters and receivers. And then I moved into radar, which is literal black magic. You can't convince me otherwise. And I've done it for 3 years at this point. now I work on radar satellites and processing data from radar satellites and doing what I like to call the eldritch math.
Eldritch math.
Which we will be getting into some eldritch math today, again, in a very accessible way. But
yeah, the difference between me and Rachel is I took my, I think it was a junior level electrical theory course, and I went, this is magic. I don't want anything to do with this. And Rachel went, I like this. Give me more.
I have bad news. We are going to have something to do with that today.
Oh, no.
So all of that to say, disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. I'm not a physicist. All of the physics that we're going to talk about today is physics that I have taught myself for work because I needed to know it. And I realized after I graduated, like many of us, that maybe a different major was a good idea. And I should have done physics because I really like
college
physics.
College doesn't prepare you. Like, no. I tell people who are going into my field, they're like, what am I going to use from college? I'm like, if you're lucky, maybe 5%.
Oh, yeah.
Also learn SolidWorks if you're a mechanical engineer. Like,
yeah, I'm in a weird subgenre of that where I've had like computer sciences and like folks and stuff come up to me like, yeah, well, like, why do we have to learn integrals? When was the last time you did an integral? And I'm like,
last week.
This morning.
Just now, actually, before I talk to you.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm in one of the weird minority that actually like uses a lot of the math that I did in college.
Little jealous of that, because the most math that I personally get into is usually along the statistics side, which personally, and this isn't against anyone who likes it, but it is to me like the most boring of all the maths.
Yeah, I never liked statistics. Probability was fun, but only advanced probability. I cannot for the life of me. We're talking, I would get into, I took my statistics and probability for computer and electrical engineers twice because I took the undergrad and grad version of the same class.
Chill.
And fabulous class. Absolutely delightful. Both times, the first half of the class, I would bring my homework to Zach, who has a much more mechanically oriented mind, my husbando, and be like, hey, if I have 6 balls in a bag and 3 of them are yellow and 2 of them are blue and 1 is red, what's the probability? He would have to help me with that because I cannot for the life of me do that.
See,
fast forward a month and a half and we're like, all right, so we have these 2 independent random variables that we need to integrate over this time series. And I'm like, hell yeah, I know how to do that. That's fine.
My brain is the opposite. If I can like visualize it concretely, if I have a bag with balls, I am a happy camper. If there are theoretical balls in that bag,
Uh-oh.
Like if the balls,
bad news about today.
if the ball's approaching infinity, I don't know what planet we're on.
Good, cool. This is, today's gonna be fun. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be great.
We're gonna do Eldritch math today. It's fine.
Woo! Conceptual I have my textbooks Eldritch. Right there. I can do quick references.
Okay, conceptual Eldritch math, I will say. Even again, better. We're not actually doing the math. We're visualizing things. Which is good because this is not a visual medium. So it's going to be great. Everything's going to be fine.
Yep. Don't listen to this while driving is what she's saying.
Yeah, it's fine.
You
it's
will cool. fall asleep.
All right. So let's get into things a little bit. Quick overview, since I know you haven't listened to the episode yet.
Nope.
Of the science in the book that we're going to kind of talk about. So this was a sci-fi book. It involved interstellar travel. Always a fun, hot topic.
Track so far.
Yep. It involves one character that has the ability to manipulate electromagnetic fields.
I would All like right? to do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it would be very cool. He uses his brain, but he visualizes it by basically... What? Well, so initially, I was very confused because initially it's described as singing. He like hums at the correct frequency. And I was like, no.
We already have a problem.
Because spoilers, I mentioned all those things I do. Electromagnetics is what I do. That's really what it goes down to is I do electromagnetics. I was like, no. And then halfway through the book, they describe, oh, no, it's not actually singing. That's just kind of how he visualizes the ability that he's using. Kind of like I think the analogy I used with explained for Margie in the episode was if like you see people with telekinesis waving their arms around, they don't have to do that. It's just kind of
it's just for show
mechanical like way of.
OK.
Yeah, like if you're a D&D nerd, a somatic component, if you will, a moving component.
That makes sense.
To a spell. Yeah. So that's kind of, it's his way of visualizing this. And he can manipulate electromagnetic fields in such a way that he can make objects like levitate, he can move them, and he can shoot them forward through space, essentially like wormholing them, like teleporting them. Okay.
I should have listened to the episode, but I'm imagining him like belting a long tenor note during the like apex of his aria or whatever it's called for tenors and like something just like shooting 20 galaxies away.
You're not that far, but you're not entirely wrong. It's actually, it's interesting. It's more explained like, have you ever heard of like Mongolian throat singing?
Yes.
Where they're singing multiple notes at a time.
That's more terrifying for some reason.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, they're also like warrior poet men. Like,
oh jeez.
And the entire planet is gay. It's a great book.
I need to catch up on my podcast. I'm so sorry.
So that's part of it. The other part that we're going to touch on is their particular flavor of space magic that lets them travel at the speed of light through or near speed of light through the galaxy. It is called a gravito-electromagnetic drive, GEM drive.
Okay.
If you're like me, you heard that word and immediately like, no, that's not a thing.
Yeah, that doesn't, those words sound like I asked ChatGPT to name it for me.
Here's the thing.
Oh, no.
It's a thing.
Wait, really?
I've spent the last week learning about how it's a thing and why it's a thing, and this is where we're going to get into the Eldritch math. So, okay.
Intrigued.
Cool. So we're going to go into two things today. We're going to start with, well, not two things necessarily. I've crafted a story. So we're going to start at a nice basic level. We're going to build on it. We're going to do some 4D visualizations.
Okay.
We're going to come back to a basic level, slowly build back up again, and then hit the gravito-electromagnetism. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, cool. So, the first thing that we need to discuss is the fact that there are four fundamental forces. Do you remember this?
Once you start talking about it, I will.
Probably. Now, that actually, before I even get into that, let me roll it back real quick, already jumping ahead of myself. We need to define a few things for folks that may not, I'm going to use some terms that you may not be familiar with, so I want to make sure everyone's on the same page. A force is strength or energy that is an attribute of a physical action or movement, right? So, like, pushing something is a force,
mm-hmm.
right? The brakes on your car are exerting a force on your car to slow you down. Okay? Cool. And a field. A field is forces in space. So.
Oh, right. It's like gravitational field.
Fields. Exactly. So
electromagnetic field.
Magnet,
okay.
Right. If you think of a magnet doesn't just work on one single thing. It can work on multiple things around it. And the space around that magnet that it can affect things is called the field.
Mm-hmm.
It's magnetic field, right?
Yep.
So those are two very specific and important things. Again, think Earth and gravity, right?
I can do that.
Field, like you said, which is convenient because we're about to get into gravity.
Yay.
So this is where we're starting. As I mentioned, we have fundamental forces in our life. There are four of them. There is weak and strong interactions. These are things that govern atoms themselves. So like what holds the protons and neutrons together and mm-hmm. all of those things. Very much microscale. We're not going to get into quantum mechanics. That's a lie. We're going to get into quantum mechanics today, but we're not getting into that particular flavor of quantum mechanics today. Quantum mechanics is the science of the physics of really, really small things. Quantum, if you will. Then there is gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. We're going to touch on that. And then there is electromagnetism. Gravity and electromagnetism work at the macro scale, relatively. Yep. EMAG still does work at an atom on an atom scale. Again, we'll get into that. But for the most part, it's macro. So think strong, weak and strong interaction, tiny. Gravity and electromagnetism, much larger. We can actually see it, mm-hmm. right? Gravity is the weakest of all of these forces by a lot. Gravity is very, very weak compared to these other forces. Think of maglev trains use electromagnetism to essentially levitate a whole ass train. We have to be standing on a planet the size of Earth to be held to the ground. Like, it's the scales we're talking on here are very different. Okay, so now we have some definitions. Now we're gonna get into gravity. So gravity is a fundamental force, as we mentioned, and it's something that we tend to take for granted.
Yep.
Because when you jump, you don't fly off into space, and we are assuming that the Earth is spherical. The Earth is not flat in this instance. I know what you were thinking. No. Spray bottles.
I thought we were talking about science today.
Yeah, science. Yeah, it's fine. So, all bodies, and that is space bodies and U-bodies, have mass, so are made of stuff, exert a gravitational force mm-hmm. on everything around them. So, the Earth is exerting a gravitational force on you. Technically, you are also exerting a gravitational force on the Earth.
Correct.
You have mass, right? Just one of those is a much stronger force. The more mass that an object has, the more pull it will exert on stuff around it. Okay? All of this, pretty simple. The sun has a whole bunch of mass.
Sun has a lot of mass.
Mm-hmm. And so all of our planets orbit around it because the sun is kind of keeping things in orbit, right? Cool. The further away you are from an object, the less its gravity will affect you. So the closer you get to an object, the more of a gravitational pull you'll experience.
Yeah, and that increases exponentially the closer you get to it.
It is the called the something called the inverse square law.
That one.
Basically means that if I double the distance between me and Earth, the gravity, the effect of gravity on me is quartered, basically, like in relation to one another. Yeah. So, yes, you are correct. So it just, it gets a lot smaller. In trying to distill this down to like just kind of as basic of an overview as I can, I'm terrified I'm going to say something wrong because I know of at least one actual astrophysicist that listens to this. And I ran all of this by my physicist coworker, who I will not name drop, who also might listen to this. So I'm just like, so if I say something
they're all
wrong,
going, you got a mechanical engineer on here to talk to you about this? Come on.
I know, right? It's specifically because I know that you've told me that electricity is magic. And
it
I
is.
Yeah,
and
well,
the reason I think that is because, like, a little bit of background. During my electrical theory class, I was trying to understand it, and my professor thought it'd be a good idea to tell us in undergrad. They're like, this isn't actually how it works all the time. This is how it works 99% of the time.
Yes.
Because electricity doesn't always follow the rules. And I'm like, I quit. I'm done.
yeah, electrical engineers do magic because we do math with numbers that don't exist and make real tangible things happen, and that's fine. Back to gravity. So, yes. So, if you've heard the term spaghettification in relation to black holes, which if you listen to my previous science corners, you may have.
Yeah, I can't think if I can't remember if I heard that from you or the Kurzgott on YouTube. I mispronounced that name.
Well, basically that happens. So that's when, as you get to closer and closer to a black hole, your like molecules literally start to be pulled apart from the feet up, if you're going feet first. And it's because there's more gravity being effective on your feet than on your head because your feet are closer to the source, right?
Oh,
so
that's
technically
more terrifying.
Yeah, there's
that
more gravity
sense.
Affecting your feet right now than your head. And actually, you weigh more at the poles of the Earth than you do at the equator of the Earth because of this phenomenon.
Oh, because we're spinning.
Partly because we're spinning. So there is like a centrifugal circular rotation kind of force that's affecting you more at the equator, but also because the Earth isn't a perfect sphere. It's called an oblate sphere.
Unless we're talking about math, in which case it's usually a perfect sphere because it's easier.
Basically, it's if you think about it, it's spinning, so it's going to kind of be pulled a little bit to the edges. So the equator is a little bit, like the radius there is larger than at the poles. Because that radius is larger, at the poles, you're closer to the Earth's center of gravity, so you have more gravity affecting you. So
kinda,
this is why...
Kind of like spinning a pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you call that flat?
How dare you? Sorry, I said oblate sphere. It's an oblate spheroid. It's not.
Yes, I know the difference.
Yeah, that's fine. So that's important. And you'll also notice that I've said weight and mass, referring to different things. It's because they are. Mass is basically how much stuff you're made of. Weight is the effect of gravity on your mass.
Yep.
So not the same thing, but that's important for us. All right, cool. So we've established what gravity is, we've established how it affects us, we've established how it affects you more if something is heavier and if you're closer to the closer to that thing.
Yep.
These are important facts. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So because gravity affects you more the closer you get to something, we describe the force that it exerts on you as an acceleration. So you may have heard that gravity on Earth is 9.8 meters per second squared. That's an acceleration, and an acceleration is a speed over time.
Yep.
So it is your change in speed over time. If you're going 0 to 60, that means your speed is changing from 0 miles an hour to 60 miles an hour over a certain amount of time, and that is your acceleration, is that change in speed over time, right? So the more the higher the acceleration, the more distance you're traveling faster, basically.
Cool. There's a lot of math behind this. It all comes together.
we're like I said, we're not doing math. We're doing conceptual math today.
Yep.
Right? Cool. So we care about gravity for two reasons. One is that it holds us to the planet, and that's important.
I like that. That's a fun perk.
Two is time. And we're going to get into
Oh yeah.
why. Yes.
This is where my brain starts hurting.
I'm not going to read you the title of this section because, yeah, I'll read it to you later.
Yeah.
So a few more definitions before we get into the next step in our little conceptual mind palace thought experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Light.
Yep.
So light travels at a constant speed.
Always.
This is incredibly important.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, as our understanding of the physical world goes, this is hugely important. It is a constant speed in a vacuum. It will always travel at that speed. We're ignoring mediums. We're assuming we're in vacuums. It's fine. Speed, as we mentioned, acceleration is changes in speed over time. Speed is distance over time, right? So
yes.
It's all related.
Yes.
So the important thing is that light is not instantaneous. When you flip on a light switch, it doesn't immediately...
It has
to. Barring the actual electric moving. The light doesn't immediately, like instantaneously go from the light bulb to your eye when it turns on.
Correct.
It takes some time. So a good way to kind of visualize that is that the light from the sun takes about 8 minutes to get to us.
It's kind of like turning on water. Like when you go to spray your sibling, it's not going to hit them immediately. It takes a second to actually get there.
Exactly. It takes time to travel. Light is no different. It does take time to travel. And we call that, obviously, the speed of light. You've probably heard that, especially if you like sci-fi stuff.
I wonder how they came up with that name.
Right? It's very unique and interesting. So just to reiterate, speed is, or velocity is, our distance over time. So
yeah, because technically speaking, speed and velocity are two different things, but we can...
Yes, right. For the purposes of these conversations, I wasn't sure because I'm like, is velocity going to be confusing? But you know what? If we're using weight and mass differently, then I'll say velocity from...
Well, like, people can remember what velocity is because Vector explained it succinctly in Despicable Me, and I can only ever hear it in his voice.
There we go. Perfect. I haven't seen Despicable Me in a very long time.
Fair.
So... So velocity is distance over time. So if you're looking at it like mathematically, V equals D over T.
Yep.
Velocity equals distance over time. Now, if we kind of shuffle things around a little bit, you could also say that distance is your velocity times your time.
Yes.
So for instance, if I'm moving 10 miles an hour and I do that for 2 hours, then I've moved 20 miles, right?
Yes.
Cool. This is going to be, keep that in mind as we go into our next thought experiment. This is where we're going to have to start doing a little bit of 4D thinking, okay?
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
There's so much setup and it's making me a little nervous.
Yeah, you should be, because we're about to get to a very classical physics thought experiment. Imagine a train.
Oh, God.
If you will.
Okay. I'm imagining a train.
Imagine a train. There is a friend of yours is on the train. It's me. Hi, I'm on the train.
Okay, Rachel's on the train.
Yeah, and I thought it would be really fun and interesting, just because, you know, cool, why not, to time how long it would take for a laser on the ceiling of this train to hit the floor of the train. Very fast, much like Edward. I'm incredibly fast. And so I am capable of taking out a stopwatch and actually timing how long it's going to take for the light to go from the top of the train to the bottom of the train.
Okay.
Right? Cool. So I'm standing on my train car. The train is chugging along, but I'm on the train car, so that doesn't matter.
Correct.
It will in a second. And I can time that light how long it takes. And it should be consistent because the speed of light does not change. Right?
Should be, but I feel like there's going to be a catch.
Cool. So what if you're standing next to the train? Right? And you see me coming, and you're like, oh, that looks like fun. Well, I want to see if I'm as fast as Edward, and I want to, you know, time how long it takes the light to get from the top of the train to the bottom of the train.
Okay.
So we both start our timers at the same time. We both stop our timers. And in the time that it has taken you to time that light, yes, the light has moved from the top of the train to the bottom of the train. But from your perspective, it's also moved...
It's doing like this. So it's...
Yes, it's going
it's traveling a longer distance.
Exactly. From your perspective, it's traveling a longer distance. From my perspective, it's traveling a shorter distance.
Frame of reference. Yeah.
Frame of reference. So do you see how both of these things cannot be true? right? In terms of the speed cannot, the light cannot have taken the same amount of time to travel the top and the bot to the bottom of the train car for both of us, because it's traveled different distances for both of us from our point of view.
Yeah, because math, the hypotenuse is going to be longer.
Exactly. So how can we sort of reconcile these two things? Well, we can reconcile these two things if we make the wild Sherlock Holmesian assumption that time is not the same for both of us.
I thought this was where this was going. Like, yes. How your this is one reason why Rachel spent the first 30 minutes of this setting up the experiment.
Yes.
Is because how you're actually observing it can affect the end result of your experiment.
Exactly. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, okay, cool. I'm glad that we're following. I have practiced this analogy many times.
Bitsy is an expert.
Sure I'm Zach is kind of understands it. I've spent a lot of time practicing this to try to make sure I can explain it succinctly. So this, congratulations, you can do physics now.
Yay!
This is something called special relativity. If you've heard of that big scary word, congratulations, we've just talked about it. Special relativity basically states that there is no way for you or me to tell from our point of view whether we are moving or standing still.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Because if you've ever been in like a car and you're going 60 miles an hour, you don't feel that acceleration. Like, you don't feel like you're moving 60 miles an hour unless you're actively accelerating. It kind of just feels like you're staying still, right?
As someone who gets car sick, I disagree, but I'm example.
that's fair. So basically what it boils down to is you and I in having different forces affecting us, going different speeds, etc., we experience time differently in such a way that it reconciles, or rather in relation to how other people might be experiencing it. So me on the train, I'm experiencing it differently than you next to the train because we're moving at different speeds. But from our perspective, neither of us can tell which one of us are standing still and which one of us are moving.
Yeah, and this is why, pilots, if they're in I'm trying to remember exactly which it is, but if they're in a jet and they're going fast enough, they I can't remember if it's they lose time or gain time.
Yeah, so this is something that actually I first had to start learning when I was doing GPS, because technically all of this is a theory. Gravity is a theory.
Because we're moving constantly compared to the GPS.
Well, the GPS is winging it around the planet.
It goes
because
fast.
It's at mid-Earth orbit, which is quite a ways away. Yeah, it goes burr. For context, it makes one full orbit about every 12 hours. Each satellite.
Chill.
So, and it's mid-Earth orbit, so it's not going, it's technically it's going faster than low-Earth orbit satellites, even though it doesn't orbit as often, and it's because it's further away, so it has to travel further.
Well, yeah, because that's math. You're increasing your radius. You have to travel farther.
Outside of the wheel versus inside of the wheel. Yep. So we actually have to account for relativity in our GPS signals, or they don't work. They just don't work. So relativity is important.
I'm good with my job. Your job sounds hard.
Yeah, it's fine. So we've established that we can experience time differently based on our frame of reference.
Yes.
We've also established that there's no way for me to tell if I'm moving and you're not, or if you're the one moving and I'm not moving. Right?
Yeah.
From our reference frame, from our point of view. Cool. Great. So let's go back quickly to gravity, shall we?
Okay.
You'll remember that gravity depends on mass. The bigger mass means more effects of gravity. You'll also remember that we describe gravity as an acceleration.
Yes.
Which means a change in speed.
Yes.
So let's pretend that our train cars are not train cars, but instead are planets.
Okay.
With different masses. So I'm on a heavier planet.
Okay.
That has, say, 15 meters per second squared is the effect of gravity on me. And you're on Earth, which is only 9.8 meters per second squared.
Yes.
We're experiencing different accelerations, which means we're experiencing different changes in velocity over time. You'll remember in our train analogy, different velocities are what caused the change in time.
Perception. Does time move slower for you than it does me, or is it the opposite?
Oh God, this is
weird. Or did I just jump ahead too?
You jumped ahead a little bit. And sorry. Also, this is where I always start to get a little.
No, my stomach's making that fun feeling too. It's just like, yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure, and I'm sure an astrophysicist can hop in and tell me if I'm wrong. If I'm on a heavier mass object, time is going to move slower for me.
Okay.
Yes, because maybe. Yeah, so this is where mine was like, relativity is not easy. I'll tell you this right now. And I spent a long time trying to distill this into something that made any amount of sense. So, So I'm experiencing a different change in speed over time on my heavier planet than you are. This means that I'm experiencing time differently than you are, because remember, velocities are really what matters here, or at least in our train example, that was kind of where all of this came from, right? Is our frame of reference.
Yes.
Which means that the mass of the objects that we're on are directly affecting the time that we're experiencing, right?
Yes.
So you experience time differently on a heavier planet than you would on a less massive planet.
Yes.
Or rather, more massive, less massive. Yeah. Cool. This, but you'll also remember that gravity affects you less the further you get away from an object. So it's almost like a curve, kind of like how much the gravity is affecting you, right?
I think I jumped ahead again.
Almost say a curve of something called perhaps space-time. So space-time is... think of it like a trampoline is kind of the analogy that everyone likes to use. It's basically like a blanket that kind of settles over the universe. And where there are heavier or more massive objects, it pulls it down. And you get that warping of time. So all of this to say that basically it shakes down to you experience time differently based on your reference frame. And heavy or more massive objects affect time, right?
Yeah. Does that mean if I go farther enough away from all universes and assuming my mass is zero, that I'll just stop experiencing time?
You'll still experience time because light still is traveling, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where my brain went.
Yeah. So... we're not going to get into kind of this kind of thing, because the discussion of what time actually is like, time is technically a measurement of entropy, and we're not going to get into that. But this is where we make the jump. You may have heard special relativity, Einstein. You also have probably more likely heard of general relativity.
Yes.
This is the difference between these two. Special relativity is our train example, where we know that we experience time differently based on our reference frame. General relativity is where we bring gravity into that mix, and we learn that we experience time differently based on the gravity that is affecting us. So gravity can warp time and space.
Yes.
Space-time. Yes?
My brain is starting to do the fuzzy thing just because it's
a little,
like...
a little fuzzy. This is... I mean, honestly, you've made it very far for it to start getting fuzzy. Good job. Right. Cool. So we have learned about space-time. Now, to bring it to something that you've probably heard of more so, and maybe will anchor this kind of thought in your mind... in a lot of sci-fi, you get wormholes, right? And they like, oh, yes. Like Interstellar, you hop in the wormhole and it lets you travel through space. The reason that this can happen in these sci-fi things is because black holes are very, very massive, which means they're warping that space and time around them to the point where you can, like infinitely warping it, basically. So it creates this tube that goes through time, and that's how you wormholes. Does that make sense?
It does, but it doesn't.
Okay. All right.
Cool. Like, I understand, like, if the black hole is creating a divot in the blanket, theoretically, that divot can last forever.
Oh, it's not creating a divot. It's creating like, a hole.
Just a hole?
It's okay. Sucking it down to the... This is something so heavy on the trampoline that the trampoline is touching the ground. It goes whoop, whoop. Straight down. Yeah. That's a wormhole. So,
Tiffany cannot listen to this episode.
Yeah, maybe don't. So it's all in relation to gravity and to that kind of like gravitational field and how that can affect time. Cool?
So if it's caused by a black hole, how do you come out on the other side? Or are you assuming like you're exiting that funnel before you hit the end? Like, so how does that work?
There's a theoretical other side to a mm-hmm. black hole called a white hole, where okay. it is constantly spitting out matter as opposed to sucking in matter. Whether or not that's actually how it works, we don't know. Yeah. Theoretically, it could. There's also evidence to show that black holes are actually jettisoning matter out of them. Whether or not that equates to the amount of matter that they're sucking in to preserve our laws of, you know, you can't create or destroy matter. Either yeah. way, matter can't be destroyed. So it's either getting jettisoned out of the black hole, or it's possible there's like a white hole on the other side that's just spitting out. And there's actually theories out there that that's how our like universes are created, is a white hole just spitting out junk. Like it's huh. really interesting. I that was actually a subject of a previous Science Corner a while ago in terms of me talking about wormholes and all that jazz. But
huh,
yeah. So, space is cool, man.
Space is a lot.
Space is a lot. Okay, so taking a breather, we've learned about special and general relativity, which like, tell your friends. You know about that now. It's very cool. It's big brain math. It's eldritch math. It's yes. fabulous. Sweet. We've learned about gravity. Very important. We've learned yes. about fields, and we've learned about gravitational fields. Cool?
Yes.
Sweet. All right. Space-time. We've done it. Congratulations. We've done the hard part.
Yay.
Most of the hard part. There's going to be another hard part. But
It's plateauing.
And maybe I should say we've done the hard part for me. Because we're okay. about to get into something else that I'm far more comfortable with. All right. Let's take a breather. Let's take strap, you know, we've done good. We've done good so far. We're 40 minutes in. We've done great.
We did it. My brain hasn't hurt done. That bad, which is saying a lot because it's Friday evening.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Cheers. I'll buy you a beer next time I see you Cheers. In a couple weeks. Clink. Bitsy's screaming. Yes, ma'am.
She wants to cheers. How dare we not include her?
Clink. Oh,
here, Ivar, would you like to
join? We got a snoot boop. Do you want to come
with me? Ivar does not care.
No. Come on.
One of my theories.
Good job.
We have a Bitsy.
We have a Bitsy.
Bitsy is a brand new soul.
The science expert is here.
Ivar, this is his 30th time doing this.
We've decided that Bitsy is a radar expert, so actually we're doing great here.
So like none of yeah. this mattered until now.
No. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. All right. So.
And she's gone.
Yes. So I say we've done the easy part, or the hard part rather.
We'll see.
Now we're getting into the part that is the reason I specifically asked you to jump on here.
Okay.
What is electricity?
Yay.
So this is a section where we don't have to justify things from the very beginning quite so much. Like in gravity, okay. we started at the basics and we very methodically built the Legos up until we built relativity.
Yeah.
There's going to be some things here that I'm just going to say and you're just going to have to accept it. Okay?
I'm so good at that.
Cool. Great. Don't question it. So,
I'm not audience. I'm absolutely not good at that.
So, well, I will say this is what I do. So ask me questions. This is more my speed. This is my career. Electricity
mm-hmm.
is the movement of a charge across particles.
Yep.
So what that means is say you have two atoms. And if you go yep. back to eighth grade science, you'll remember there's protons and neutrons in the nucleus, and then there's a bunch of electrons winging around the outside, right?
Yes.
Theoretically. And the protons have a positive charge, kind of like the positive end on a magnet,
mm-hmm.
and the electrons have a negative charge. So if you have more electrons than protons in your atom, then overall, it's negatively charged. It's more negatives yes. than positives. If you have fewer electrons than protons, it's positive because it's an overall positive, right?
Yes.
So if you have two atoms, one that has more electrons and one that has fewer electrons, so a positive and a negative, that electron is going to want to go over. They're attracted, right? Much like in romance novels, opposites attract. The electrons want to jump, right? And the act of jumping from one atom to the next creates an electric current. That's electricity.
So electricity is just a bunch of atoms playing hot potato with electrons.
Yes, that is electricity. That's it. That's electricity. You've done it. You know now.
Woo!
So this positive atom that we have and this negative atom that we have, that kind of attractive force that we get between these two like charges, that's because these also have fields. Electric fields.
Oh, right, because we talked about that during like minute five.
Yeah, we talked about gravitational fields. These are electric fields, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So the movement of these charged particles creates a magnetic field. This is one of those things that you're just going to have to like, yeah, that's why that happens. The reason why that happens is because electricity and magnetism are two parts of a larger whole called electromagnetism, which you'll remember is one of our fundamental forces.
Yes.
Yes. So, electricity is important. Electricity and magnetism go together. One generates the other.
Yes.
Which is how motors work. Fun fact.
That's true. Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, that's a thing that you understand way better than I do. When we get into like motors, I start to glaze out, even with the electricity stuff. Cool. So this is electromagnetism. This is a fundamental force. This is a whole ass dissertation. So when an electric field and a magnetic field interact, they affect each other.
Yes.
Right? And they affect each other in such a way, there's several different ways that they can affect each other, but one possible way is that they start to kind of push and pull on each other. Think like the Newton, like the clinky balls that force goes back and forth.
I was thinking like a good romance novel. Like you want that.
Yeah, you want that. Yeah. So you want those two main characters to start oscillating, if you will.
Giggity?
Giggity? So they start to affect each other and they start to push and pull on each other and they can start to oscillate. And when we say oscillate, both Rebecca and I are just waving back and forth.
Ivar does not like it.
We mean they start to create waves, right?
Oh, is this where we're going with this?
This is where we're going with this.
Okay.
So why do we care about the fact that electricity and magnets make waves?
Because someone sings to time travel is what I'm getting.
Not quite yet, actually. Okay.
Not
one
there yet.
One step backwards. Do you remember that pesky thing called light?
Yeah, super annoying.
You ever wondered what that was exactly?
Isn't it like, it's like a photon?
Photon is the carrier, yes.
Okay.
But light, when we say light, what we're actually referring to is energy, and we're referring to energy that's made up of electromagnetic waves. Light is waves. So these oscillating fields create light. That's how light is
made. That makes sense. It's just like we also spent roughly 45 minutes for you to go, light is waves.
Light is waves. Well, I'm going to get even more infuriating because actually everything is waves.
That's, technically true.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So light, we talk about different wavelengths of light. We talk about like red has a specific wavelength and yellow has a specific wavelength. Well, we're talking about obviously wavelength, which is related to frequency. The frequency, is how the rate at which those electromagnetic waves are oscillating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all can't see the hand movements I'm making, but imagine. Oh, right. It's an audio medium. So they form waves. They form waves at different frequencies. We can only see a very small little chunk of the frequencies that they can be. those frequencies, that little chunk of like visible light that we can see, is where these fields interact with both our environment and our eyes. So it's where they can bounce off of things, and they bounce into our eyeballs, and we can mm-hmm. process it, and we can see it. So what happens if those frequencies are outside of this tiny little slice that we can see? That's when you start to get things like infrared or ultraviolet.
Huh.
We can't see it, but it's just light. It's all light. It's just outside of this small range of frequencies that we can see.
Gotcha.
Then we go a little further, and you get, say, X-rays, that's light, or radar, that's also light. It's all part of a spectrum, much like being gay. And it's called, because us engineers and scientists are very creative, it's called the electromagnetic spectrum.
I thought you were about to say gaydar.
No, it's not called gaydar, but I wish it was. So, the electromagnetic spectrum is energy, and it's all light, okay?
Yes.
Cool. And remember, all light travels at a constant speed, which means all energy travels at a constant speed.
So the frequency is changing, but how quickly it travels is not.
Yes, exactly. So the light that comes from the sun is traveling at the same speed as the light or energy that we spit out from some of our satellites in space.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same thing. It's just at different frequencies.
That's it. The term's universal constant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. My undergrad's coming back to me, and it feels good.
So this is no understanding, like, that mental leap of going from, oh, well, this, I'm learning the science of the physics of waves right now and how they propagate through space, and making that jump to, oh, it's all just light.
It's everything.
And also, it's all just electricity and magnets mm-hmm. was like the biggest, just like, mind blown moment for me as an engineer. That was my like, holy shit, it's all connected. I can see the Matrix moment. It's very cool stuff. All right, cool. So we've talked about light. We've talked about frequencies. I have good news. We're getting to the end of these notes. God.
There's a lot of setup to explain dude's doing.
I was going to say, here's the problem. We got not a long way to go, but we have one more jump to make. Okay?
Cool. Perfect.
So we're going to go back to our trains, actually.
Okay.
Okay? So I'm on the train. You're on the platform, right?
Yes.
Instead of light this time, however, we're going to be observing two electrical charges. We've talked
now
about
these. My brain hurts.
Yeah, I know. We've talked about these. So envision them as, because in our mind experiment, we can make them look however they want. Imagine there's two red balls that are kind of hovering in the air.
Yes.
One on top of the other on this train. They both have a positive charge, which means they repel each other. Like the positive ends, two positive ends of a magnet repel each other. Same thing, right? So they're repelling each other, and they're going to just kind of slowly drift apart. Now, this is where I'm going to need you to hold on to this train car with me, okay?
I'm on the platform.
Well, do your best. So we are going to pretend that we have a gravitational force. So we have this electrical force that's pushing these two things apart, right?
Yes.
We're going to pretend that we're going to apply gravity to these two
balls.
Balls, so that instead of drifting apart, it actually perfectly counteracts it. So they're just hovering in space now.
So they're just
staying the same distance apart. They're just hanging out, right? Because the electric force is pushing them apart, but our fake gravity force is keeping them together. Perfectly in balance, right?
Yeah. Okay. Is it moving with you on the train?
We're not there yet. We're getting there next.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. So they're just hovering in the train car. Okay.
Okay.
We're ignoring some very critical facts that we'll go into later, but we're just
it's fine.
Just hanging out.
Science is known for ignoring things sometimes to make things work. So, theoretically.
So, well, it's more of we're ignoring it to make it easier to understand.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So from my perspective on this train car that's chugging along, those two chargers are just hanging out. They're in perfect stasis. They're just vibing. They're enjoying each other's company because they don't get to do that very often because they don't like each other normally. So, you know, we're doing pretty good here. From your perspective, however, those charges are moving, right?
Yeah.
What did we learn about moving electric charges?
There are waves.
There are waves. They create magnetic fields.
So to you, they're just vibing, but to me, they're an electric magnetic field.
Yes. So, okay, no, that's good. That's good. That is correct. That is what we're looking at here. So how is it that from both of our perspectives, like they're still staying still? Because we're in the same space, right? So we should be able to see this magnetic impact, the impact of these magnetic fields that are being generated from your perspective, right? From your perspective, something should be happening to those two balls where they should be moving or something because there's this extra force that's being...
Do you not notice them because the same force is acting on you?
I don't actually know if that's the next step. The next step in my brain, or in this particular analogy, is that there is another force that is being generated through this process that is a secret fourth force that is counteracting the magnetic force. Okay. Guess what it's called? Gravito-electromagnetism.
That doesn't sound real. Also, Loki kind of feel like I sat here for 55 minutes just to get to a very lame punchline. It was a great trip, but like...
Look, it's technically... Here's the worst part. It's technically called a gravitomagnetic force because gravitoelectric force is a different thing, and the interaction of these two forces is called gravitoelectromagnetism. So here's basically what all of this boils down to, what I've taken you on this ride to come to the conclusion of. Gravitoelectromagnetism is called that not because it is actually related to electromagnetism per se. It's more so that it is analogous to how electromagnetism works. So in the same way that a moving electric charge creates a magnetic field, there's this assumption that a moving gravitational body also creates a field around it that would be analogous to a magnetic field to an electric field.
So do
that's
I
that's what it is.
Do I have a field? That's
here's the thing. So this is where things actually got really interesting for me.
Okay, because my brain is kind of sounds like my laptop right now.
Oh no. So gravitoelectromagnetism, this theory, has been around a long time. And actually was around...
A lot of these theories have.
Before relativity. Because it is relativity. If you put those gravitational bodies in motion, you get relativity. So basically this came around and then Einstein was like, okay, cool, bro, but I can do it better and easier and in a more elegant way. And so what gravitoelectromagnetism is, which is besides being a fucking mouthful, is a very specific use case of relativity. So it works in very specific circumstances, namely at very low speeds. With very little mass. And
doesn't sound all that useful.
No, not really. And the other really important thing is that we're ignoring the fact that gravity is really weak in comparison to electromagnetism.
Oh, that's right. Because both of those electrons would just fall.
Yeah. So it's for both of us. Not gonna be really that useful. So here's how, listeners, if you're ever wondering how my brain works, this is how this works. I don't read sci-fi because I read that word and was like, I need to know what that is. And this is the saga that I went on. I refreshed myself on gravity. I refreshed myself on special and general relativity. I refreshed myself on the basics of electromagnetism and then the applications of electromagnetism, even though I use that a lot, so that one was easier. And then I learned about this thing. because I couldn't learn about this thing until I refreshed myself on the other things.
Yep.
And now we know what gravito-electromagnetism is. So yes. Now that we've done an hour of science talk, this is why it would not fit into the episode. Now that we've done that, thank you so much. Rebecca, thank you, by the way, for doing this with me. Now that we've done all of that, we can talk about the science in this fucking book.
That's right, because all of this started with a romance novel.
All of this started with a romance novel.
As, like, most things do.
Oh, God.
It starts with oscillating waves.
It starts with fucking. So. Yeah. God, I've learned so many things from romance novels. Like, how quickly you replenish.
Me too.
Blood. Yeah, and you don't even read them.
Yeah. The aloes are crazy, man.
All right, beer two. I lied. This is not a beer.
What is it?
It's called a long drink. If you've never had one, highly recommend. It's a Finnish drink. It is a kind of like a fizzy grapefruit and juniper lemonade.
I need to find this. Those are
it's
some of my favorite things.
It's extremely delicious. I love them. And I found them at our local bottle shop, which was delightful. Back to science, shall we?
Science.
So. We've done all of that groundwork. We've gotten to a point where we understand all of these basics. Finally, to get to a point where we can talk about the goddamn science in this fucking book.
Correct.
So, I have no idea how this gentleman is matching the electromagnetic frequency of an object to levitate it.
How is he?
Not how that works. Actually,
how is he causing that to happen?
The best I can imagine is what he could be doing. Is he could be generating essentially
again,
a magnetic field underneath it. That I'm not as concerned about that.
Is he a vampire? Is this one of those weird things? Okay.
No, it's basically his people all have kind of an affinity for this energy, like are sensitive to this type of energy, like electromagnetic radiation, which how do they experience
which just tells
the
me
sun?
They might be prone to headaches, but like how does that affect physically?
Well, so basically he was experimented on and they tampered around with something in his brain and made it so that he could actually physically affect these things.
That explains nothing.
No, it doesn't. But that we're going to look, I'm not a surgeon, nor am I. All I can say is that I don't think that's how that would work.
I am not a surgeon either. No. And like, could we poke around in his brain and like drastically affect his personality? Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Can we poke around in his brain and cause him to affect gravitational fields?
Oh, it's not gravity.
I can't remember the word.
Electromagnetism. So
I wonder if it's the
gravito-electromagnetism.
Yeah.
GEM. You can just say GEM.
He's a gem.
He's a gem. So here's the thing.
And I.
Damn it. So here's the they don't even have the same stars as we do. No, he's not. It's a different part of the galaxy.
You're getting worked up over that technicality.
Look, I'm willing to chalk up the brain tampering to space magic. I am, because I don't have experience in that, and we're just going to put that on the why not shelf. It's sure. The actual functionality of how you would do that to an object. If you're going to induce an electromagnetic field in an object, you have to be creating a magnetic field or
correct.
An electric field in this object, which I guess is technically possible, but not.
I mean,
wouldn't have the effect that they're describing. I do not.
It's possible, but last I check, and I'm assuming he's a carbon-based life form because
he's mostly human.
Most life forms are. I didn't take O-chem. We have established that earlier. Maybe not while recording, but last I check, organic-based life forms aren't great at affecting electromagnetic
generating
fields.
Energy.
Yeah, like not okay.
Radiation.
Not that type of energy.
Yeah. Hey, you know the like all of the radiation that comes out of nuclear reactors. That's also light. So this is
angry,
at a different
very angry
frequency.
Light.
It's spicy light.
It's spicy light.
So. You know, I wasn't gonna title this episode or this minisode, but we are. It's now. Episode 137, Science Corner, aka Spicy Light.
Rebecca and the Spicy Light.
Rebecca and the Spicy Light. So it just technically, yes, he could probably, well, he couldn't do that. But you know, if we're believing in science magic, sure.
Why, for this thought experiment, yeah.
Yeah, here's the problem. We established...
This is the problem.
Yes, this is the problem. We established that gravito-electromagnetism isn't actually technically related to electromagnetism. It's only called that because the analogy stands between how these things are generated. Which means that he wouldn't. It wouldn't matter. He wouldn't be able to do this gravito-electromagnetic thing with his electromagnetic frequencies because they aren't related.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My brain stopped at you saying this is a hyper-specific situation where this can occur, yeah. Which yeah. tells me it's mm-hmm. not going to happen no. anywhere outside of also a lab.
That. Also that.
Which Here's- means... I'm sorry for anyone who's like a research scientist. That means it's not useful.
Here's the thing. And y'all should know me enough by now to know that I'm going to hyperfixate on something dumb. It doesn't matter. These words sound good enough and are just barely yeah. true enough that anyone reading that book doesn't give a shit. Sure, it's space
Unless
magic,
they're
which
us.
Is all sci-fi is. I'm not that person. I'm the person that's going to spend a week reteaching myself special and general relativity because it's been a minute since I've had to use it so that yeah. I can tell you why it won't work.
Yeah. So see, that's the best way to trigger a hyperfixation is yes. oh, it's absolutely. Not going to work and I'm going to spend a week telling
and
you
I wanna
why.
Know, this is the reason that I don't read sci-fi normally is because I do this with everything. It's not, I'm in no control over my body and its actions.
Yeah.
Fantasy's great because I can just say it's magic.
Yep.
When, as soon as you try to explain the science in the sci-fi book, I'm out. I'm out, nope. dog. Nope.
That doesn't make sense. Because, those words don't mean anything in that order.
Because this is what happens. I spend what's probably going to turn into almost 2 hours talking about meaningless science with a friend. That's what
it's
happens.
It's fine. That's the silver lining of this right. electromagnetic storm.
Field.
Field.
So this is where my notes stop, because this is where we start trying to figure out how gravito-electromagnetism could possibly propel you through space-time.
Yeah, how is this related?
I have not been able to figure out how that would work. Now, bear in mind, I reiterate, I'm not a physicist. I like physics a lot. I'm not technically a physicist. Yeah.
But like, okay, so like everything we talked about thus far,
yeah.
Do not ask me to math it, please.
No, I won't.
I could not do that. But
I couldn't. Jesus Christ.
We can follow the logic. We can follow the logic behind this. And so far, I don't understand. Okay, first, I don't understand A, how this is useful outside of the very specific train situation, which means I don't understand how he's using this period.
How is this going to work on anything other than yeah. a train?
Yeah, like yeah. if you told me he had a tiny black hole inside of him that he could use to like wormhole other places, like yeah, sure, that oh, that would make
body.
More sense. Maybe
here's the that has its own whole set of oh, don't you dare
I,
bring that up again because I'm gonna start thinking about it. So, well, here's the thing: is like the only way that I can keep like try to physics this out. Is if instead of actual gravito-electromagnetism, what they're talking about is essentially creating a pocket wormhole. And that's what it sounds like they're doing, is like in the book, what it kind of, they don't go into a lot of detail, obviously, mm-hmm. but the vibe that I get is what they're actually doing is they are doing what a lot of other spaceships have done in sci-fi books. They create a pocket black hole, essentially, and use that to warp space-time around them to get to mm-hmm. their destination at near superluminal speeds, which is almost at the speed of light. Yeah. Superluminal being faster than the speed of light. It just sounds cooler. that's the only way I can think that they might be...
Yeah.
trying, but that's not gravito-electromagnetism.
No.
In any way.
But pocket wormhole now, does not sound as sophisticated.
I think it sounds cool as hell. Now,
it does.
One thing that I will say I did find a paper because I didn't just refresh my memory. I did look for papers on gravitational electromagnetism, and I read
someone
a couple
has
of them.
To have studied this.
Oh, they have. Well, so in 2004, bear in mind this book came out in 2014. In 2004, there is an article on ESA, which is the European Space Agency, on their website,
okay,
that is about some experimentation that a group was doing where they were pretty sure that they generated a gravito-electromagnetic force.
I love how your caveat to that was they were pretty sure.
I have not found a single other paper that says this. But here's the thing, and this is it to me.
So wait, hold on, wait.
Yeah.
We haven't, like,
no.
From what I just heard, it doesn't sound like we've been able to, like, do this once super well, let alone recreate it. And this guy can just, like, do it with his brain.
Now, here's one thing I will say to that. Technically, gravity is also a theory. Higgs boson was too, until we proved it.
Yeah.
So, I'm not as concerned about that necessarily.
Fair.
But,
The look she's making. It is the look, the same look I have when I'm annoyed about it, but I'm trying to explain
here's the problem.
While not cursing.
So this paper stank of, look, we just proved relativity, test us on it. And so many people have claimed that they've done that, and they've all been wrong, because relativity has held.
Yeah.
Again, okay, it's a theory.
The first sign to that is, okay, first, it sounds like if they're the first ones to do it in 2004, it is now, as of recording this, 2024.
Yes.
It means people would have repeated it and extrapolated on that data, meaning
exactly.
We would have had more papers.
Well, and what they were basically saying in this is they took a superconductor, they spun it real fucking fast, and they said that there was an additional force that they couldn't explain. And they attributed this
for
to
all the variables with someone breathing on it.
So they attributed this to a gravitomagnetic force. And they said that, look, it's like super, like hundreds of trillions of like percent more powerful than relativity predicts it to be. And we repeated it a whole bunch of times. And we want other people to repeat it as well to see if they can do it as well. And maybe I wasn't looking in the right place. It's entirely possible. Again, I'm not a physicist. I couldn't find anyone else that did it.
Yeah. And see, like, to me, if you tell me you found an unidentified force in your experiment, it tells me you're not controlling something or didn't account for all the variables. Doesn't necessarily mean you found something.
That's my
new
first assumption. And if we're being honest, I feel like it should be everyone's. Always assume you're wrong.
It is.
That is good science. It's just assume you're wrong and prove that you're not.
That's also how anxiety works.
Also that. And it explains a lot. I just assume you're wrong. And it didn't sound like they did. It sounded like they were like, well, look at this cool thing that we discovered. Prove us right.
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
no.
I mean, like, I think that has to do with how they phrase it. Because, like, a lot of science is, unfortunately, how you phrase things is incredibly important.
That is very true.
If you find something unexplained, it's not good practice to just go, it is absolutely this unidentified thing that we've never seen before. It's no.
Yeah. Well, and I will say, like, in theory, again, in the same way that relativity is a theory, gravito-electromagnetism exists because it has to, because relativity exists. Like, it's a part of relativity. So it is there. We haven't shown it per se. And also because it's under such specific circumstances and it's very weak. Like, gravity is very weak.
It's weak.
And there's some interesting, like, follow-ons, because if gravito-electromagnetism works in the same way that electromagnetism does, are the electric and magnetic fields interfering with each other create waves, right? So in theory, a gravito-electric field and a gravito-magnetic field interacting would make gravity waves, which is not the same as gravitational waves, to make things even more confusing. What I'm saying is I haven't figured out how this would work in terms of an engine. And I don't think it would, actually. But I'm not a physicist. So
basically, we spent an hour and 20 minutes
for me to tell you that it's wrong.
That we don't know, coming to the conclusion that we don't know how this works.
But I proved to you that
it's bad science. No. It's just not satisfying.
But I proved to you that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or that at least we're pretty sure it doesn't work.
Hi. Dude, it's so hard to confirm a negative.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and this is why it takes an hour, hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. So we built it up. Now y'all know about a lot of stuff. And now y'all know why I'm pretty sure this doesn't work. But I can't tell you for sure because I'm not a doctorate. I don't have a doctorate in physics.
Neither do I.
But I like physics. And I think
you're
it's
way more educated than I am.
Terrifying. and yet I'm an idiot.
See, that's how I feel like you can like truly spot someone who understands what they're dealing with. It's the person who legitimately goes, I don't know what I'm doing.
I have no fucking idea. It's awful.
Like, I don't know how this works. That's why I'm here.
Right. Well, I think that the biggest takeaway from this is like a couple things. One, I think it's good to question stuff in books because, they're an author like that may not have, they may not be a PhD in physics either. And that's fine. But if you read something in a book and you think, that doesn't seem
weird.
Or what the hell's that? Look it up. Take that and don't just look it up. Look it up. And if it's not something you understand, start at the beginning. Like,
keep digging. Digging. Yeah.
Get yourself to a point where you can understand it because it's interesting. Like, if you find it fun, do it. Why not? Like, I learn a lot from romance novels, not because I take the romance novel at face value, but because I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder how that works. And you just look it up.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, is the interest in that sort of thing.
It's also why we found the submarine episode so annoying.
Oh, do you remember all that electromagnetism that I talked about? Literally what I do every day? That entire book was a giant middle finger to electromagnetism.
But Rachel, you just listen for the silence. It's not that hard.
And if there's a perfect sunspot at the right, or a fucking solar emission at the right time, then it will make every single satellite orbiting around the Earth identify every single submarine in under the water at the same time across all electromagnetic frequencies, which we know about now.
Make sense. Because, like, take the medical field, for example. There are so many different ways to scan a body, and you use them for very specific things. For example, X-rays. Awesome for hard tissue, like bone. Not great for soft tissue. It doesn't make sense that you would see the same thing.
Because, and we know this now, different electromagnetic frequencies or wavelengths interact with objects differently. So,
like the atmosphere.
Yeah, like so X-rays interact with soft tissue differently than they interact with bone, which is why you can see bone but not soft tissue. It's all connected, y'all, which I think that's the other big thing that I want people to take away from this, that like, we went down a fucking rabbit hole of science and all this bullshit, and it ended up not really meaning that much, but
it's fine.
The important thing is all of these building blocks that we put together, they all build on each other because it's all related. At the risk of sounding like fucking Charlie with my red string on the board behind me, it's all connected, y'all. It's everything is waves.
I send that GIF an unnerving amount of times at work. Mm-hmm. Like, someone will ask me a question, and then 2 hours later, I'll send them that GIF, and they're like, what did you do? And I'm like, it's not important, but I actually have to tell you about it.
We're not going to get into the GIF thing, but I do want you to know you're a GIF human. I'm a GIF human, so.
Oh, is it because you think it's supposed to be, like, graphics? Because
not graphics.
Not giraffics.
I know that the guy that created it specifically said it was GIF, and I don't care. Don't care.
It's fine. It'll be one of the few things we disagree on.
It's fine. Yeah. So everything's connected. And that said, I know of at least one physics human that listens to this, and potentially there could be some more. And if you can figure it out, I want to know. I really do. I didn't make this my life, but I did go down some rabbit holes, so I'm sure there's tons of stuff out there that I just didn't look into, and I only have one astromechanics textbook, so there's
only
plenty more out there.
That's one more than I have.
Well, you know.
Which tracks?
So, I would love to hear, if I said anything wrong, I'm more than happy to issue an addendum, and also, if you can figure out a way that this would work, because I haven't.
Yeah, same. Yeah. If you're talking about in the Discord, I am in the textual attention Discord. I am just a lurker.
Yes, and that's fine.
So,
but
If you tell like us. Tag Rachel and you're like, tell Rachel, like, hey, tag Rebecca.
You can tag Rebecca. Me. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Are you Blondie in that one, or are you just Rebecca?
I think I'm Blondie.
Yeah, Blondie. Yeah. Yeah, we just doxed you. It's fine. I can cut that if you want.
Yeah, because Blondie's going to tell you where I live.
Yeah, so I do hope this was fun. It was a little unhinged. I had fun.
I still kind of feel like it was an hour-long joke build-up to not a great punchline, but like...
Well, I was hoping we could work together to figure out how it works, but I don't think we can because neither of us know how it works.
Yeah,
and I explained it to you for the last hour and a half, and I still don't know.
Sometimes that's science. Sometimes you spend a whole lot of time going through the theory at the end, wait, I still don't know how this works. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. And sometimes that means
I guess
it's not real.
I should roll it back and say it's not that I don't understand how it would technically work. It's more of I don't think it would work in the way that you think it does. Because in theory, I mean, if we go back to our trains and we have our charged particles that are moving, it generates another force. So in my mind, the way this GEM drive works is that it is moving several gravitational fields in such a way that it generates this additional force that would propel them. But gravity's really weak. And these forces are very weak. So I don't think and it's very specific use cases. So I just don't think that even if you like
and even if it did work, considering it's based on gravity, it sounds like it would have a really, really short range.
Yeah, well, and if the assumption, I guess, being that they would be generating two hypermassive gravitational fields. And at that point, why not just generate your own black hole and use that? Why generate two of them? You don't have to.
For the same reason you get two cats, so it can have a friend.
Sure, it needs a friend. Yeah, that's fine. So I would love to know. I'm very curious if anyone has any. Because again, I'm an idiot. This is just me casually teaching myself relativity because that's who I am as a human. Who are you? It's fine. Yeah. Well, sorry. I should say reteaching myself relativity because I taught myself relativity about 5 years ago.
Hyperfixation's fun.
No, that one is actually directly relevant to GPS because, again, we have to account for relativity in GPS, and GPS is all about timing. If you ever want to have a fucking existential crisis at the fragility of humanity, talk to me about GPS. More than happy. You know, just saying.
Well, that might be something to do after one old-fashioned, as I'm into the second.
Alcohol is usually involved because it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yay. Yep. Yeah, so
if I think too hard about how small I am, it's not fun.
That's not even it. It's so much worse than that. So on that note, thank you all for going on, if you so chose, thank you for going on this ride. Let me know if that made sense, because like I said, I spent a very long time just trying to take this and distill it down to something that was relatively easy to follow and from both of our perspectives, damn it, from both of our reference frames.
I'm still here. I feel like I understood that.
Technically, you know what electricity is. Feel free
to tell me
now.
If I didn't.
You now know what electricity is, technically.
But who really knows what electricity is?
Yeah, do we really?
It's just
know
a bunch of atoms playing hot potato.
Adam's playing hot potato, and then there's all sorts of extra things that it can do.
And depending on where they're playing hot potato, other things happen.
Yeah. I love electricity. It's so interesting. But it's interesting for the same reason that electromagnetism is interesting, which is really what my brain has latched onto is this is the cool thing because it... I'm not gonna go down my crazy rabbit hole and derivation of all of this derives... art is science viewed through the human lens. We're not going to get into that philosophy that I hold. But what we are going to get into is the fact that... I may have lost it. God damn it. Wait, hang on. ADHD, don't fail me now.
ADHD brain. I related to that so hard.
Yeah, well, it's... that's the derivation of it. But what it all kind of comes down to is that the interconnectedness of everything is so freaking important. And that's what all of this kind of passion is. I got it back. It's because I just had to keep talking. It would come back. It's because electromagnetism is the building blocks of so many different things. You can't be an X-ray tech without understanding some amount of electromagnetism. You can't work with radar without understanding some amount of electromagnetism, and everything in between. And it's a similar thing to me with art, because you are an ADHD human, and you understand that there's so many different things to learn that it's so hard to pick one thing and stick with it because you get interested in something else. And ooh, this other thing's neat. And this is a topic that I've fixated on and stuck with because there's so much to it. In the same way that I love to do art in my free time, because I can decide today that I'm going to do watercolor, and tomorrow I'm going to do oil painting, and then the next day I'm going to just sketch. And there's just so many aspects to it, but it all follows similar principles. And the same thing here with electromagnetism. There's so many aspects to it, but it's all governed by the same physical properties. And it's just so interesting to me how you get, and there's a connection between art and electromagnetism too. I'm not going to go into it, but there's some really fun stuff there too. Hence the derivation. And it's just, I really am in, like, love a topic where it's deceptively simple, but it connects so many things. And that's what really I find interesting and why I enjoy going down the rabbit hole on stuff like this and then telling you, fuck you, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, but you learn something along the way, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for listening and going on that journey with us. And I would love to hear your feedback. Hit us up on, I guess, social media, or Discord is the easiest. We're bad at social media. Hit us up on Discord, please. That would be cool of you.
I am, as my friends can attest, I'm always on Discord. I don't really have any other social medias. And I feel like Rachel's kind of the same way.
I kind of am. I really don't do the social outside of posting on the podcast. So, Instagram, mostly 3 times a week, mostly. But I'm not a social person. But Discord, I'm usually lurking on. So hit us up on our Discord. You can access that through, if you haven't listened to any of our episodes, I'll tell you where I say it at the beginning of every single one. I'll say it here, too. You can find it on our Instagram through the link in our bio, or you can go to our website. There's a link to directly to the Discord from there, and it's a really cool place. There's lots of really fun people, and there's someone right now who has started at episode 1 and has gone through our entire back catalog and is giving us live updates for episodes that I don't even remember. It's fabulous.
Oh,
I love it so
that's
much.
That's fun.
Yeah. We created a new channel specifically for them so that they could discuss it, because everyone's
here,
like...
Here, fellow ADHD human, you can hyper-fixate.
It's great. We love you. I love seeing all of that, so and shout out to everyone in the Discord for making this happen, because I was just going to do a blog post, and this mini-sode, not really that mini.
It's not a mini-sode. It's like a 137.5 or whatever the software release thing is. It's like, I don't know.
It's going to be shorter than that when I edit it down just a tiny bit. And by edit it, I mean listen to it at 2x speed. It's while I'm meal prepping. That's how I edit, actually, all of our episodes. So
wait, you edit while meal prepping?
Yeah. Go Gadget ADHD. I meal prep and edit at almost 2x speed. All at the same time.
That is crazy. Look, okay.
I've done 100, almost 130, I guess. Yeah, I've done over 120 episodes that I've edited. So I'm used to it. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Wow, we are different levels of ADHD. We just discovered that.
My problem is I thought I was just inattentive, and it turns out I'm very hyperactive. So I do a lot.
Woo!
Whee, it's fine. Cool. All right. Well, thank you all so much, and thank you, Rebecca, for hanging out. I know.
Anytime.
Do you want to? I know you're not recording with them, but do you want to plug the Ladies of Strange at all, or?
I mean, may as well. Yeah. So I was one of three for the Ladies of Strange. I say recently, like this happened in the past month. It's been a couple years. I took a step back from the podcast, but because I'm good friends with Rachel and Margie, I sometimes pop on there.
Yeah. We drag you kicking and screaming.
There's less screaming now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, internally, perhaps, screaming at all of the science, but you know, it's fine.
It depends. Like, okay, so to be fair, the past couple ones were like the Twilight episodes, yeah. which I knew were going to be bad yeah. going in, but I also kind of wanted to like snark on it. Yeah, so absolutely. That's on me. But yeah, part of the Ladies Estranged. They're right now on hiatus, mm-hmm. but there's a pretty good backlog if you happen to be caught up with Sexual Tension and want something to take up your time.
Delightful podcast. I love it. We're so
there.
Much.
There's also other podcasts, but we're there.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But yeah.
It's a good time. Yeah. I think there's an episode where we were on it and it was very fun. So
there's a we only had you on one. Yeah, I thought we had you on two.
I think just the one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you
that one we talked about space and aliens.
Yeah. Because you had already talked about Flat Earth, which as we know is my passion.
I talked about Flat Earth twice.
Yeah. It's my passion.
Hence the beginning of the episode of Rachel going,
not flat.
Rebecca, this is not about Flat Spherical. Earth. Shut up.
Technically, it's an oblate spheroid. Remember?
And then me going, so like a pizza, it's so flat.
Like, yeah, like a cylinder or like a circular pizza, spherical pizza.
I think that's a calzone.
Oh, you're right. It's a calzone. Oh my God. We figured it out. Okay, we need to stop. We need to end now.
We gotta go home.